Good morning, everyone. I would like to ask the congregation to sing the first verse of number 94. Desire your prayers. Title of the message is, Are You That One? That can be a general topic and can cover many things. But the subject of this lesson or this message, Are You That One is that Jesus is looking for? Yes, amen. I'd like to begin reading in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I want to begin at the 11th verse, Matthew 18 and 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you that he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now I'd like to read that same passage in the book of Luke. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting at the first verse, Luke 15, starting at the first verse. Then draw near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, That what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus is looking for you this morning. He has been observing your life. He has been seeing how it's been going. Maybe you have found yourself enthralled and entrapped in the world. Maybe the world has given you some vices that has gotten hold of you that you can't seem to turn loose. Maybe you desire to have a better life. Maybe you desire to have a real relationship with God. He's here today to meet you. We live in troubling times in our world. And I believe that as this world continues to grow worse and worse, as we see all these eruptions of the things that the Satan is pushing on the world. We see the violence. We see the hatred. We see all of these things taking place. We see the chaos in the world. Jesus Christ has the answer for the world. Amen. Are you that one? Do you struggle with your emotions? Do you struggle with your anger? Do you struggle with your self-control? Jesus is that one that can help you. I want to look at a particular man in the Bible, Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. I imagine some of the children here could probably stand and give us a good explanation of this man, because this is one we learn about as children. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half the goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything of any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was searching out Jesus, and Jesus knew about it when he was walking on that road. Jesus had in his mind, I'm going to see Zacchaeus today. I imagine there were some people around Jesus following him. Maybe they received a blessing, but Jesus had a purpose in his heart and mind that day, and that was to go see Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus was a sinner. And that was Jesus' whole purpose, to come and to seek and to save them that were lost. Are you lost this morning? Are you that one that Jesus is seeking? Psalms, the 40th chapter. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. David said this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on the rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust the Lord. Have you been waiting patiently for the Lord? Are you that one that's bogged down in the miry clay of this world? Jesus Christ has come to lift you up out of that miry clay. He's come to establish your goings. He's come to put a new song in your mouth. Amen. Amen. Are you that one today? I'd like to turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3:17. And the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Let me tell you something. If you are not saved today, do you know that heaven is waiting for you to come get saved? Heaven is waiting to start rejoicing. One has come back to Jesus. It said he will save. The devil might tell you, no, you can't be saved. You got this going on in your life. You got that going on in your life. It's all scrambled up. You can't figure out how to get out of it. But let me tell you something. God can save you. He can deliver you from everything that has caused you problems throughout your life. Do you have a problem with cursing and swearing? I can tell you, God can deliver you from that. Do you have a problem with the vices of this world? They seem to control you. They seem to just take you wherever they want you to go. Jesus Christ can deliver you this morning. First John 1:19 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to live in a place of sin. You know, that's where Satan is. He's trying to keep as many people with him as he can. God never intended for none of us to live on Satan's territory. He had a heavenly place for us to live. He had a place where we can live with victory in our lives, where we can look to him, where we can trust in him, where we can see the things of the world, and we can push them away. I'm not interested in those. I want to look at another example of a man that Jesus helped. John, the 5th chapter. We'll start reading at the first verse. John 5, the first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he hath made me whole. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he said, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. A multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Now, as we consider this example here that took place, here's a man laying by the pool, can't get in the pool. There's only one person that can be healed. But you know what? Today, Jesus Christ is in the business of healing all things. He's in the business of healing a sin-sick soul. And this man received something from Jesus, and he got up and he took up his bed, followed the instruction of God, and there was people to come around and tell him, oh, what are you doing? It's the Sabbath. And he said, Jesus told me to take up my bed. And it said, Jesus found him in a temple and spoke to him a second time. And he told him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Are you that one today that the Lord desires to save, that he desires to make whole? Sometimes we have occasion to have the Lord deal with our souls, and we look at that opportunity and sometimes we pass it by. Do we want to pass by Jesus making us whole in our soul, putting joy in our heart, putting a new song in our heart, giving us a purpose in our life, giving us a kingship in the kingdom? This man was made whole by Christ. It said Jesus saw him and knew he had been like that a long time. How long have you been walking in sin? How long has the devil had control in your life? Jesus Christ is able to set you free from the stranglehold of Satan. He is able to lift you up and put you in a place where you can enjoy life without having to be bogged down by the chains of sin and this world. Hosea 6:1 says this, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. This was talking about the children of Israel who seemed to have a way about them that they would wander. They would follow God for a while, and then after a while they're away from God. And God had to send some trouble in their life to draw them back. Are you that one this morning that wanders? Jesus Christ wants to establish you in his truth today. He wants you to get a real good hold on an experience with God. Are you that one? Let's turn to John, the 10th chapter. Bear with us, this is going to be quite a bit of reading here. John 10th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 13th verse. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash. Whoops, I'm sorry. John 10. Start at 10 and 13. And the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others saith, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? We see a group of people here. Christ came to save all. Yet, in spite of the works that he had done, the people that had received blessing, the people that had been received salvation, the people that had received healing, these Pharisees still wouldn't believe. You know what they had? They had a spiritual blindness. They had a way about them where, even though they were in the midst of Christ, he was working and dealing. They couldn't believe. Are you that one? Has spiritual blindness enveloped you that you can't believe? Jesus said that him and his Father were one. And he said, no man can pluck his sheep out of his hand. Jesus has committed himself to be our shepherd in our life. All we got to do is believe him. Sometimes the enemy comes to us and tells us, you know what? You can't live saved. You do good for a little bit, for a little while, and then it seems like you go back to your old habits. Let me tell you, Jesus said nobody can pluck us out of his hand. He is able to save you to the uttermost, where you can live this way for as long as Sister Marcia, 50 years of her life. There are others here that probably have lived for God longer than that. They have seen all kinds of things come through their life. They have lived in different eras of our country and our world. Yet, the devil has not been able to pluck them out of his hand. You have that same benefit. Jesus wants to take you in. He wants to hold you in his hand. And he wants to keep the enemy from ever plucking you out of his hand. He is able. Isaiah 55 and 7 says this. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The enemy might tell you, no, you can't be forgiven for what you've done. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ will forgive you. He and God will forgive you. He will utterly pardon you, abundantly pardon you. He's not going to leave no baggage behind. You could have full, free salvation today. You can have a new life. You can have, it says, behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. You can have a new life. You can go to bed at night and have a peaceful rest. You can go to bed at night and have the Lord sanctify your thoughts. He can keep the enemy at bay. You can create new habits in your life. You can have new friends in your life. You can have whatever you need in your life to be new. The world tells us, Christians, y'all a bunch of old folks. Y'all don't fit in our world. Do you know what? If we wasn't in this world wouldn't exist right now. Because God would have wrapped it all up because of the way mankind is. You look over there when the angel visited, I believe it was Abraham. Lot was over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angel said, we're going to reveal to Abraham what's going on. And Abraham began to plead and be, Lord, will you spare it if there's this many righteous? And the angel told him, yeah, we'll spare it if it's that many righteous. And Abraham got to thinking. And he kept bringing that number down. And that number got so small that he finally realized that God was going to have to do what he had to do. And he came down in that place and he rooted out the wickedness in that place. That place was destroyed. If the Christians were not in this world today, this world would have been destroyed. Amen. Where would you have been if that was the case? Are you that one that don't have salvation in your life that would have had to go to hell because you didn't give in to Christ? This is your opportunity today to accept His salvation, to accept His ways, and become an old fogey like the rest of us. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You don't have to give in to the suggestions of Satan. You don't have to go his way. He says you got to do this habit. You got to do that habit. God can set you free, and you will be free indeed. Before I got saved, there were some things that I used to do that you probably wouldn't even believe. I had the worst cursing mouth that you ever want to see. I had an anger problem that I had no control over. And I felt pretty good in life. Going through life, and as the devil began to entwine those two things on me, my mother told me, she said, son, if you don't get control of that anger of yours, you're going to find yourself behind bars. I was babysitting my younger siblings one day. My parents had gone to the store, and one of them, they're supposed to follow my instruction. Well, one of them wasn't following my instruction, and I got so mad that I put my fist through the wall. That anger was out of control. Of course, my dad made me fix the wall. And another time, you know, I love to play basketball, so I'd go to the gym, hang out with the guys, and there was times that I would get upset at how things were going. And you know that curse word with the initials GD. That used to be one that I said. And whenever I said that, something in my spirit caused me to cringe. And I began to realize I didn't have the control that I thought I had. And I realized that I needed to be saved. I needed God to deliver me all of that from my life. Things we don't have control over, we need deliverance. We need God to lift us up out of those places. Are you that one today? Revelations 3:20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. You can have a new experience today, this very day. Your life can be completely changed. You can have a vision. You can have a focus that goes beyond this world. Where are all these Christians going after this life? Where are we going? We're going to heaven. You see what I'm saying? We know where we're going. Where are you going today if you don't have Christ? He's knocking at the door. He wants to come in. He left the 99 today to come to see you and I. He wants to lift us up. Give us victory in our life. Give us a new purpose. Make us an asset in his kingdom. Amen. That we can show other people, look, this is what God has done for me. These are the places that he delivered me from. Psalms 116. Psalms 116, verses 12 and 13. You know, the Lord has blessed all of us, saved and unsaved. It says he reigns on the just and the unjust. There are blessings that maybe you don't realize God has given to you. Just the very fact that you are breathing this morning is a blessing from God. That is an involuntary thing that he put in all of us that we don't even have to think about breathing. What would happen? You fall asleep at night, and if breathing was in your control, and you forgot to breathe. You can even try not to breathe. I can hold my breath, but after a while, my body's going to shut down. I'm going to black out, and then I'm going to start breathing again. That's a blessing from God. Psalms 116, 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is what I'm going to do. I will take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Today is your day to call on the name of the Lord. He came down to visit you. He came down to take you up out of that place that you were in. Will you accept his salvation this morning? Let us stand, get a number. If God is talking to your heart and you don't have salvation, you're that one that he's calling on. Today is the day that you start a new life.